Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. Krishna, Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. We live in a time of unprecedented crisis. We heard often during the pandemic. Of course, there are different theories about whether there actually was a pandemic or not, but it certainly affected the whole world very seriously. And apart from that, we see so many climatic disasters, natural disasters, earthquakes. Right now in Pakistan, there are floods displacing and killing thousands of people. In the last few volcanoes, you don't hear much about that because there was a serious volcanic eruption in Nigeria, but who cares about Africa? If it had been in, yeah, it was in America, right? Mount Elba, a few years. How many years ago was that? 15 years ago. Big news for days and days, and a few people got killed. But they were Americans, right? They weren't Nigerian, so it comes in the news more. Floods and then droughts. Europe is facing Western Europe among the other major problems. Drought, wildfires, famine, war, threat of war between major powers, both Russia and the NATO powers, which means America and the rest, have been talking about nuclear conflict. No joke. Brinkmanship and one-upmanship going on in the Taiwan Straits. So there's the threat of war between NATO, which means America and the rest, and Russia. No joke. And America and China. No joke. Apart from these major conflicts, there's so many wars going on. There's more actual fighting going on in the world at the present time than there was in the Second World War. Because in the Second World War, there was a lot of fighting was going on, but there were particular arenas for the fighting, which was Western Europe and East Pacific. But there's so many wars, small wars, big wars, not exactly wars, the uprisings and ongoing fighting in so many places. Ukraine, of course, full-scale war. Well, I don't know. It may have died down a bit. There was a lot of enthusiasm for it, but people get bored. I used to see as a kid on the news, every night they'd report the Vietnam War, and it was boring. They'd show the lines on the map where the Viet Cong, and gradually they came down and the Americans ran away. And what did it mean to me? A kid living in England, Vietnam, who cares what the hell goes on over there? But somehow it kept on coming in the news for years. But Ukraine, they seem to have got fed up with it already, and it's hardly in the news anymore. And then something will happen, and it'll flare up again, no doubt. And then it'll come, and everyone will be outraged from the comfort of their homes. They'll be outraged. Ethiopia, war going on. Yemen, close, very close, just two countries away, right? You have the border with Saudi Arabia, and just on the other side. Of course, Saudi is a pretty big country, but it's not very far away. And The effects of that war were even felt right here in the pleasant UAE. It's going on. There are flashpoints all around the world, and where just more heavy war could just spring up at any time, just like you didn't expect in the UAE to get attacked by ballistic missile, but it happened. Iran's, as you probably know, Iran's just on the other side of the Abra. Well, I mean, one side means there's one side. One side is Bir Dubai, the other side is Dera. And if you go in between and go out into the sea and keep on going, within a short time you reach Iran. And talk of nuclear, and Israel and America are very anxious to make sure that doesn't happen. Could be very, very dangerous. But we don't feel it. And we don't feel the hungry bellies. Anyone feeling hungry? Not yet. Maybe after an hour, if you go an hour or two without. But there are reportedly 1 billion people, it's about, what, 1/8 of the world's population, who go hungry daily. At least malnutrition. They don't get enough to eat. And reportedly the threat of starvation, of actually dying of hunger, faces 45 million people in 43 countries around the world. And when we hear it, we don't relate to it. 45 million people. How can you relate to 45 million people? How can you relate to that? Maybe the whole of the state of what? 45 million would be that. Most Indian, major Indian states have more than 45 million people, but maybe Orissa has 45 million. What about Telangana? Any idea? You're supposed to know everything about Telangana, Hyderabad Wala. Hyderabad itself is a craw, yeah. So, anyway, just huge. Huge numbers of people are expected to starve to death in the upcoming months. Afghanistan, major humanitarian crisis. Sri Lanka, we don't hear much about it, but it's going on. No fuel. One thing they have is food, because not in the city so much, but everywhere. I was there a few years ago, and you don't even have to. You don't even have to do much, but things just grow by themselves: avocado trees, jackfruit trees, banana trees, papaya trees. You know, pigs running around, and you can shoot them and eat them if you're a pig eater. And plenty of fish in the rivers and fish in the sea. I'm not recommending that you eat it, but I'm just saying that there is enough food to support the population, whereas in other places there may not be, especially in countries where they're dedicated to cash crops, like Afghanistan. The main profiting cash crop was opium, poppies for opium, but that can't feed the people on the ground. Myanmar, it's a mess. So many countries in Africa are just a mess, with fighting going on and not enough food and drought. And then we have refugees. They make it all the way from Africa to Europe, and Europeans don't want them. From Britain, they're rounding them up and sending them back to Africa. They're coming from Syria also, so many places. Yeah, what about Syria? Whew. That's another, not very far away, huh? Another mess. Libya, complete mess. Lebanon. If you think you have problems in your life, just think about all these places where serious problems are, it's just the way of life. And it's not just one day or 2 days or 3 days, but going on year after year. Haiti, they have natural disasters and political disasters and all kinds of things. Environmental problems, man is conquering nature, I used to hear. Did you hear that when you went to school? Did you ever hear that? I used to hear that. Man is conquering nature. Well, the empire strikes back. Man's brilliant interference with nature is now clearly making global warming. Glaciers are melting. Then the Antarctic ice and the Arctic ice is melting. The sea level is going to rise with... We don't know exactly what the consequences are, but one of the consequences is much of the land in the world is going to be lost. So major or cities which are coastal cities are going to be submerged. Bangkok for sure, it's below sea level anyway. New York is in danger of being submerged. New York City, London, and other cities, they're just not going to be able to function. They're going to be underwater. Maybe not completely, it'll come gradually. Global warming, extreme temperatures. Recently in Britain there was 42, which here in Dubai it's just normal, but in Britain it's not normal at all. And that strongly adversely affects all the agriculture. In Spain it got up to 49. Of course that's just on the other side of the... There's just a little Gibraltar Strait and then they're in Africa. But anyway, it's extreme weather is becoming normal. Droughts followed by torrential rainfall, which makes floods. The earth becomes baked solid. And then there's heavy rain and the earth can't absorb it because it's so hard. And then the rain just... goes all into the rivers, the river levels rise, and all the cities are flooded. This is happening repeatedly. And it's not only all those useless countries and those useless people speaking in a sarcastic way, yeah, because I don't believe it in Africa, but it's treated like that. But it's happening even in the Western world, where extreme weather... The hurricane, now they talk about the hurricane season in America, which rips cities apart, cities, towns, villages, destroys crops, kills people, causes untold damage. In the Western world, which has assumed its superiority over the rest for some centuries now, they're watching. It's like watching someone who's being slowly carried out to sea, and they're trying to catch on and come back, but they can't. The power of time is taking their grip, their control out of control, as other economies and other military powers come up. They always blame other civilizations for being backward and looking at the... They like to point out, just like in the Western press, the English press, they like to point out all things that go wrong in India, as if everything's wrong in India. But they have so many social problems of their own. They turn a blind... They'll complain about child labor, but they don't bother when they drink their coffee and when they eat their chocolate, which is produced by child labor, but they don't want to hear about that because they like coffee and they don't want the price to skyrocket by cutting out the child labor. So much hypocrisy is there. Now the West is heading for a hard time, especially Western Europe. Britain... the price of fuel is just out of control. People, it got increased 50% recently, and most people are struggling anyway. And all of Europe, they're going to have a cold winter ahead. They're just not used to it. People in India, not Indians in Dubai, and not Indians, affluent Indians in the big cities in India, but the village people of India, they're used to hardship, tolerating heat and cold. But in the West, they're not used to it at all. They're used to, you flick a switch and it becomes warm, and you flick a switch and it becomes cool and everything's nice. But now they're going to face so much hardship because they won't be able to afford heating in the winter. Inflation is struggling to keep it under control. In India also, they're struggling to keep prices. Widespread poverty seems inevitable in the Western world. It's already happening. There's a huge gap between the super rich and everyone else, and it's widening, and the number of people living below the poverty level in America and Western European countries, it's increasing. Food shortages in America, about 38 million people require food stamps from the government, by which they can go to Walmart or McDonald's or something. That's about 12% of the population. That's more than 1 in 10. They're so poor they can't afford food. In Britain also there are thousands of food banks, and they even have started it in UAE, where one major problem is food being thrown away. So much food is thrown away. It's not that there's not enough food, but supermarkets buy stock more than they need, and then there's a use-by date, and they throw it away. And throwing it away also creates another environmental problem. So food banks have been set up that when the food gets to, and hotels, so much food is thrown away in restaurants, people throw away in homes, people throw away. You probably all throw away food. I hate it. I see it in our temples also. I really hate it. I eat maybe one or two chikus a day, and they get a huge number of chikus and just leave them to rot. And I've been protesting this for years and years and years, but it goes on. Who cares? What does it matter if you throw them away and waste money and waste food? That seems to be the mentality. Not just chikus, other things also. So in homes, you probably all throw away food regularly. Is it? You don't? Okay, good. So many people do. A few years ago, I was at a farm, commercial farm, run by some devotees in Bulgaria. Now, we have to keep this open, this passage, right? Commercial means organic, but it was for commercial. So, harvesting carrots, and they had to sort out the carrots between the ones they could send to the supermarket and the ones they couldn't. Because the ones they can sell, the supermarket carrots, they can sell the straight ones, but if they're bent or there's a little outgrowth from it, then they won't buy it, because it has to go in the packet, in the plastic packet, and it has to look nice. And so many would be thrown away, but they give it. They also have cows, so the cows get a lot of carrots. So much food is wasted, and a lot of it is given to food banks. And there are over 4,000 in the United Kingdom, where people who can't afford food. They go and they can take food for free. But now the food banks are having a problem because there are supply chain shortages which are affecting everything. In the whole complex world economy, you have to bring one thing from one place to another place, and then it's processed and manufactured into something else and sent somewhere else. So the food supply is decreasing. In Britain, as a result of Brexit, the number, because they relied so much on butchers from Europe who have now gone back to their countries, so they have so many pigs and other animals who they can't be slaughtered, which for them is a problem because it's all a business, right? So many problems are arising. Because of supply chain shortages, there's not enough food in the supermarket. So even if you have money, you can't necessarily buy the food, and then they don't have enough food to give to the food banks. So poverty and malnutrition or insufficient nutrition is going to face Western Europe, especially Britain. It's already facing America. What happened to the great Western powers? In America, the country which, especially America and Britain, they like to tell everyone else off, right? If they want to invade a country or change a government, they always raise humanitarian issues, right? They say they turn a blind eye to the countries which go along with their agenda, but they raise humanitarian issues. But they're so anxious to dictate to others and lecture to others, but mass shootings in schools and elsewhere in America have become so commonplace that it's not even an outrage anymore. If you see tomorrow in the paper, which is not paper anymore, it's on screen, right? Most people see the news on screen, if you have to see the news. Mass shooting in America, 15 people killed. Okay, what happened? What's the latest cricket news? It's more interesting, right? Look into it. Not me, I'm not interested in cricket. School shootings are a well-known social problem in America, but there's so many other problems. People going hungry, homelessness. In America, they have enough money to send billions of dollars worth of weapons to kill people in Ukraine. Of course, they're invading soldiers, but they don't have enough money to build houses for more than 500,000 people in America don't have homes. More than 500,000 people. And it's not just, you might say, oh, they're all useless people who don't work. But many of them were people who previously were company executives, highly educated people with good jobs, and the company just folds up, for various reasons. There's a financial crunch. People can't afford to keep up their mortgage payments. They lose their job, and then they're out on. Then the house is possessed by the bank, and they're out on the street. So many of the people who are homeless in America are. It's not that they're just useless bums, if you think there is such a species as useless bums, but they're, in many cases, they're people who have had jobs, had families. You hear of older people moving in with their children, and the children may put them up in the basement because they don't really have space in their house. And there's the fear in the Western world, even people who have a good job, that I might be in that situation soon, because they may know people who are doing well, getting ahead in life, my career is going great, and all of a sudden they're out of a job, they're out of a house, and they're nowhere to go. And it's cold in the winter, and no one loves you. When you're out on the road, no sympathy. Opioid epidemic. It's called an epidemic. Opioid, the class of drugs produced by the ever-benevolent pharmaceutical industry, always thinking how to benefit the people of the world. They created a class of drugs for relieving pain and gave assurance that they will not be addictive, but unfortunately they are, and they're still being prescribed. So people take these drugs for pain killing. It's a major problem in the world. Pain, bodily pain. People live sedentary lifestyles. Is a major cause. In 2019, over 70,000 people died from drug overdose in America. 70,000 people. And these are mostly not heroin addicts or opium addicts. These are opioid addicts. People who went with a pain problem to the doctor, were prescribed drugs, and became addicted to them. And they also end up on the street, many of them, because then they can't keep their job, because the drug, it affects the mind also. And when you're addicted to it, especially, they don't get their jobs, they lose their job, they lose their family, they lose their house, and they're out on the street. People want the drug, and they go to another doctor and complain about pain so they can get prescribed. They can get it by prescription. Over 10 million people in America are known to have misused prescription drugs last year. Whew. It's called an epidemic. They don't know what to do. It's out of control. And apart from that, there are drugs which are chemical drugs. It used to be like heroin was the big thing, or cocaine and crack. You have to grow them. You have to grow the plants in one place, smuggle it in. The logistics are a little difficult, but now they've been discovered. Psychotropic drugs that give you a high, gives you a buzz, or more than a buzz, which are easily made from chemicals. Cheap, easy to make, everywhere. It's not only in the West, in America. In Bangladesh, they're having a major crisis of this drugs, which are just everywhere. Punjab is full of drugs. College-going kids in India, they're getting drugs because easy to make, easy to sell. You get the kids addicted, then you got an ongoing market. You can charge what you like. Good business, if you're a demon. It's going on. Major crises in the world. America. Several devotees from America have told me that in America itself, there's fear of civil war, because there's so much divide between the far right and the liberal left. The far right, far right Christians who believe in Christian fundamentalism. They believe the earth was created by God about 6,000 years ago,
They believe Jesus is coming soon, and everyone else apart from them is going to hell. And it might sound like something weird and wacko, but it's a major demograph in the United States who voted in Donald Trump, and they're afraid he might come back again. And on the other hand, you have what they call wokeism, in which they want to tear down exploitive institutions, all kinds of discrimination, gender discrimination. There should be no discrimination of any kind between men and women, and children should be taught at school. This is going on in schools in the Western world, and the syllabi here, the curricula, they follow the West. And in the West, they have curricula that they forcibly teach the children. I mean, I was just in Germany, I was told. In Germany, it's stringent law that by the age of 10, you have to teach children how to have sex in a manner that they don't get pregnant. The girls don't. It's a law. Compulsory. You can have Montessori schools and things like that, but you have to teach this. But maybe even worse is they teach the kids from the beginning of life, if you're born as a boy, you don't have to be a boy. If you're born as a girl, you don't have to be a girl. So they're creating this tremendous confusion right from the beginning of life, and even encouraging and actually having children who are too young to even think about these things, if you should even think about it at any stage of your life, to have sex change operations. And once you've done it, that's it. You're finished. You can't decide to swap back again later. So really, any suggestion of traditional family values, that men and women should have different roles, any suggestion that extreme feminism is not right, any suggestion that homosexuality should not be promoted as if it's normal, then you get the whole crowd shouting you down, and extreme attitudes. You can't even discuss that maybe it's not such a good thing for society that we promote homosexuality as being normal and good. You're not even allowed to. It's not even up for discussion among the woke crowd. They're called woke, with the idea that they've woken up. And they want to wake everyone else up to their ideas. So, on the one hand, we have the extreme fundamentalist Christian right, and on the other hand, we have this woke crowd, and they really don't like each other. And America, as you may know, is a land of guns. Gun purchase is very easy, and the devotees have told me that there is a fear, widespread, or premonition, or whatever you want to call it, in America, that there can be an actual civil war because these two groups don't like each other. There's no dialogue, no question. They hate each other, and all kinds of things going on with the woke crowd. Just like if a university professor. Yeah, some years ago, a university professor came up with a scientifically conducted study saying that although men and women have more or less equal intelligence at the academic level, when we get up to the high-level stuff, just like to be a brain surgeon, why are there so few women brain surgeons, if there are any? Because they don't have what it takes, according to this study. And then, of course, he got thrown out of his job for coming up with a scientific study. You're not allowed to produce scientific facts which show that, of course, scientific can be in such studies. So fiction, or what people think things should be like, is preferred over fact. And we're trying to keep, well, I guess it doesn't matter so much because we don't have huge crowds storming the doors trying to come in. Huge divide. Every generation, there's a generation gap. Each generation is more far out than the previous one. In the 1970s, when I was growing up, we're thinking we're a new generation. We're defying the old order. The times they are changing. Your sons and your daughters are beyond your control. The Bob Dylan sang. He's an old man still alive. Didn't hear that he died. But each generation is more and more out of touch with the previous generation. And the present generation grows up. What is the strongest normal? For normalization or culturization of children, that people would live in the family and there'd be the village, and children would grow up in a certain culture. And as Chanakya says, it takes a village to raise a child. Or even I was discussing with Jnanananda Maharaj, my very dear godbrother, recently. He said even he grew up in the 1950s in a regional town in England, where in the street everyone knew everyone else. They weren't spiritually advanced, or they were. There's no question of spiritual advancement before Prabhupada came, but it was clear the father was the father, the mother was the mother, and even the doors, everyone knew everyone else by name. If anyone in the family, if the father got sick and couldn't go to work, everyone would be there to help him. All the families would be there. If a kid is walking on the street and does something wrong, anyone can just give him a slap on the ears. And then they would report it to the, he told me himself, he had this experience. Then it would be reported back to the parents. If the child speaks cheekily to an elder, then it would be reported to the parents, and then again they'll slap him. And that was considered proper and right. If on the bus a child doesn't stand up for an elder to let the elder sit, they'll tweak his ear. You don't know who he is, but that would just be considered. Now if you do that, you'll be in prison. I just saw him. One devotee sent me a link that in some schools in America, they're bringing back paddling. Paddling means there's a special. We didn't have that in Britain, maybe due to our Indian connections. We had bamboo canes for punishing us. That was when I was younger, but then they stopped it when I was a bit older because they became more enlightened. So the paddle is it's a device which is. It's just like you see that, or you used to see before the Dobie started using washing machines. Then why have a Dobie at all, if the washing machine? But it's a handle with wood and flat, and boop, boop, they beat like that. So like a little cricket bat. Yeah, right, okay, that's the. So you've all seen that in India, unless you grew up in Dubai. Some of you may have grown up in Dubai. So they're bringing it back on popular demand from the parents, that the teachers should use this to discipline the kids in the school. So I was saying it would take a village to raise the parents, a village or a street community to raise the children. But the family unit was central. But as more and more women went to work, and the man works long hours, night shifts, or he may be even working in a different city altogether, the raising the children, the main influence in their life became the school and what they're taught at school. And the state gradually took away from the and interfered in family life in so many ways. Like that, if there was some problem between the husband and wife, maybe they're fighting, that would be dealt with at a local... It wasn't that it was just left alone, but the local... Another of my godbrothers told me, in the village he grew up in, this was in the Czech Republic, that if it was... It's heard that the man had beaten his wife, his friends said, just say, okay, come with us. And then the local men will give him a good beating, say, don't do it again. And then they'd go on with life as usual. So it was dealt with among mlechas and ati mlechas, but then the state took it away. So now you have to go to the police and... local, for raising children, everything has become standardized, officialized, institutionalized. So the children, their main influence became the school. But now it's not. It's the internet and social media. That is the main influence that they're growing up with. And I think you can all agree, it's not good. And even it's known that these internet or these social media companies, they design algorithms meant to make, they're addictive algorithms, so that the kids go back again and again and again. And they have these games, and the kids will go on playing, they won't eat. We hear about Krishna. He'll go out to play and he won't come back. So that's going on with the social media. And you see from time to time in Japan, that came a few days ago, a child killed his mother because she was insisting that he stop watching or playing the game and come and eat a meal. And then he just killed her. Because these social media and the games, they give you a distorted vision of reality. For the person who's spending hours playing their game, that's reality. And in these games, they're killing people all the time anyway, and it's just a game. And then, but I don't know what's going on in their mind. They don't distinguish between killing something on a screen and killing your mother in real life. So we have lots of problems. Even California, what a great place. Everyone wants to go to America, right? In America, California, people are leaving California. They're getting out of it. Big drought, wildfires, homelessness, which means law and order, more problems, prices spiraling out of control. Oh, another part of the woke movement is that they're against police violence, which is a problem and can be a problem, because the police everywhere sometimes have to use violence, otherwise they couldn't be police, right? Unless the population is very compliant. It may be in some countries. In Singapore, a few years ago, there were riots by Indians, and the police didn't know what to do, because the police aren't used to being to have to deal with violence or to use violence, because the population is very compliant. But anyway, the police, to keep law and order, mostly there's violence or the threat of violence, and if you're not prepared to use violence, then the criminals take advantage. So what's happening with the woke crowd, the any little police excesses, which are there, and especially in a country with guns, where owning guns is very common. So the police, they're also armed all over America, and it quite often happens that they see someone who's a criminal or a suspected criminal, and they think either the criminal or the suspected criminal pulls a gun on them, or they think they're going to do it, and they shoot first. And they can kill them. But it happens, and it happened a few months ago with some 15-year-old boy or something who was black, and then the police, the big uproar about the police, how they're oppressing the blacks, and he's only a child, and he didn't have a gun. But how was the police officer to know? But what's happening is then they're defunding the police, and they make such an uproar about it that what's happening is that the police don't want to do their job. Because if they make a little violation, it'll be promoted everywhere and everyone hates them. So I was told, one of our devotees told me that in New York City, he was distributing books, selling books, and people saw he's got money. It happens quite often in the Western countries. I have experience from the 1970s. And criminal types saying, hey, he's got money, and they want to come and attack you and take your money. So a devotee said to the police, hey, look, these guys are hanging around me, so I can't do anything. I'm not going to do anything. We can't do anything. They don't want to apprehend criminals or even possible criminals. And the criminals take advantage. Australia also, bushfires. Australia is a great place to live, right? But not now. Terrible fires burning up the countries. Mental illness, major problem in the Western world. Everywhere. Everywhere. For various reasons, which I spoke a little bit about last time. People are raised in a society. People don't feel secure. They grow up feeling insecure, and they may grow up in a violent atmosphere. You may not even see that they're growing up in a violent atmosphere. It may be that they're being sexually abused at home. Yes. Pornography. People see on their screen pornography, and then they want to try it out. Who are you going to do it with? Well, there's your own child. This is going. And then there's, I just heard, was it today or yesterday? Someone told me the Ukraine crisis has been a great boon for the human traffickers. Refugees, nowhere to go. And okay, we'll help you. Very nice help. And then they get sold for slavery, prostitution. It's a major problem in Europe, civilized Europe, human trafficking. And what to speak in India, the poor families in Bihar, Nepal, and someone comes from Bombay and says, we'll give you 5,000 rupees or 10,000 rupees in advance, and we'll send you so much money, we'll give your child a job. Your daughter looks nice, we'll give her a job in Bollywood. And she ends up in prostitution. Like a slave. Horrible, isn't it? Wait a minute, there's more to talk about. We're going on yet. Widespread distrust of governments, of big business, especially pharmaceutical business. But all what are the major businesses in the world? Pharmaceutical. Well, that's the legal drug business, and there's the illegal drug business is a huge business. Defense, which means making weapons to kill people. And to keep the business going, you have to keep having wars, right? So there's one major reason why there's so many fighting and insurgencies and wars going on all over the world is because they need to sell their weapons. And then you have to You have to have senators in the government who will support your war and sanction the weapons being sent, and then they of course get paybacks from the weapons manufacturers, and people get killed. Defense, pornography, human trafficking, fossil fuels, which it should have been phased out long ago, but it's going on the fracking is going on, which is anyway oil extraction and use is a major cause of environmental problems, pollution, so many health problems coming from pollution. The air we breathe is polluted, the food we eat is polluted, the water we drink is polluted, plastics. You get your nice organic fruits wrapped in plastic. And the plastic just touching the fruit becomes poisonous. Spring water in a nice plastic bottle. Yeah, agriculture, Monsanto, they're telling us they're making nice food, which is genetically modified. What will be the effects on that? We don't know. But we'll find out in due course of time. It's not going to be good. Agribusiness, education is a big business and very important business to keep everyone stupid so that they go along with all of this. The mass media, all manipulated to keep us fools. The elites possess more and more instruments to keep us subjugated. Soft power, that's the indoctrination. When that doesn't work, hard power, call out the cops. And more people don't trust the powers that be and even hate them. There are innumerable conspiracy theories, some of which might be true, but you just don't know, because I suspect that there's a disinformation is going on, making new and new conspiracy theories so that you just distrust even the ones which might be true. So, it is a time of unprecedented crisis. Is it? Recently I was in Canterbury in southern England, and we were doing chanting in a park, and in the park I saw a plaque. Plaque, you know what I mean? Not the plaque in your teeth, but it's a stone with a writing on it. Yeah, a placard is temporary and a plaque is more permanent. So, I'll read it out. This memorial commemorates the 48,000 members of the Commonwealth who died in the campaign in Italy. That means military campaign. It wasn't a campaign for cheaper food. It was a military campaign in Italy, which commenced in June 1943, with the landings and fierce battles of the Sicily campaign. Landings on the Italian mainland followed at Salerno, Calabria, and Taranto. Looks like the plaque needs a little restoration. It's not so clear. In September, we, the reader is supposed to identify with the Commonwealth troops, we established the first foothold in Europe since Dunkirk. And again, you're supposed to understand what that means, but maybe many people nowadays wouldn't, and you wouldn't understand because you don't know modern Western history. The landing at Salerno and the subsequent bridgehead at Vazio were fiercely opposed on the Adriatic front. That's another front, because they're Sicily means they're attacking from the south. If you see the map of India, it looks like a big boot. So from the south, Sicily. And the Adriatic coast is the eastern coast facing what used to be Yugoslavia. So they're on two fronts, they were attacking from the sea. On the Adriatic front, bitter fighting in atrocious conditions marked our progress from Termoli to the hard-fought Sangro crossing. They're saying hard-fought Sangro crossing. That would be days and days of fighting. It sounds like on some river and people getting killed. And fierce fighting gained Cassino and the road to Rome and northern Italy. Months of heavy fighting over rivers and mountains in snow and rain secured Florence and Bologna. The hard-fought battles of the Argenta Gap and Po Valley smashed the remains of the Gustav Line, and victory in Italy was ours. All these battles were fought at great cost, and the total casualties, killed, wounded, and missing, was 300,000. That means the Commonwealth troops, because it was the Germans and the Italians, they were fighting the Germans and the Italians, and more of them died. So we're talking about more than 500,000 people in just one arena in the Second World War. They were either killed, maimed, wounded, or you just never heard about them ever again, which means they're probably killed. That's a lot of people, and they were all men, mostly men. There were civilian casualties also, but at that time, there was more idea that we're not supposed to kill women and children. There are 60 Commonwealth cemeteries in Italy, just for the soldiers who were killed there. We of the Italy Star Association do not forget our gallant American, French, and Polish comrades who with other nationalities formed a cosmopolitan army and fought and died alongside us and are remembered elsewhere. And there was another plaque which said that we are able to enjoy walking in this park in this day because of these, what they sacrificed for us. So, in 1943, they would have said, a time of unprecedented crisis. And now we're saying a time of unprecedented crisis. Things are always bad in this world. It is getting worse. How do we know that? Well, we know it at least from the Srimad Bhagavatam. Tato nu dinam. What is that? Tato nu dinam. Dharma. Tatascha nu dinam dharma. Satyam shoksham. Kshama daya. Kalena balina rajan. Nangshanti ayur balang smritihi. Shukadev says to Parikshit Maharaj that with the onset of Kali Yuga, with every day things get worse. All these things decline. Dharma, satyam. Dharma, we can say, sense of religiosity. Satyam, truthfulness. Shocham, cleanliness. Cleanliness of mind. Even the idea that one's mind should be clean, out of fashion. Kshama, tolerance. Srila Prabhupada would give the example that someone can kill someone else over minor, something very minor, just like the mother tells the boy, stop playing your game. She might shout at him and he just kills her. Kshama, daya, any compassion, any mercy. Kale, by the powerful force of time, kalena balena rajanang, lifespan is decreasing. Bodily strength is decreasing. Mental ability is decreasing. So things are decreasing. And day by day, and in a generation, things get so bad. And of course, there's the Varna Sankara principle also, when people don't follow religious principles and they unite in sex just like animals, just for without any responsibility, just for fun. The children produced of that are going to be Varna Sankara, or Srila Prabhupada sometimes translates that as unwanted children. Children born out of gross lust. And then their children, what are they going to be like? And they're going to be worse. And so it's a rolling on exponential effect. Each generation is getting worse. One thing, if anyone has any intelligence left to even consider these things, especially if we see through the eye of Shastra, we should understand that this illusion that we are in control, man is in control of nature, man is making progress by harnessing the powers of nature, the illusion of being in control should be over. The idea that we can control nature, we can control the environment, we can control anything, it's out of control. Everything's out of control. Our own Srila Prabhupada, he predicted the collapse of this so-called civilization. Why should anyone maintain any hope of happiness in this so-called civilization? It's spiritually speaking, it should be good that this so-called civilization is collapsing, because people think, as long as people think, oh, it's wonderful and we can have good jobs and good careers and everything's going to be nice, as long as that's going on, and this is really this part of the world that you all live in, it's a real adult fairyland. That Srila Prabhupada said when he was walking in Berkeley and west coast of America, and seeing from a distance, if you're at a distance for an American city and it's flatland, as it is, just like when you drive from San Diego to LA, and if there's not too much smog, then you can see from a distance, from miles away, the high-rise buildings in the distance, so many. And so it's like that here now also. So many high-rise buildings. Srila Prabhupada, seeing that in a morning walk, he said it's a fairyland for adults. They have Disneyland, but their whole existence is like a Disneyland. The idea that build big buildings and everything's great, progressing, wonderful. Srila Prabhupada, he had so many adjectives for modern civilization. Animal civilization, hog civilization, less than animal civilization, cat and dog civilization, Hiranyakashipu. I made a collection of them. It's coming in my next book. Srila Prabhupada, he didn't have a good view of this civilization. So it's really illusory to cling on to hopes of normalcy. What's normal? Normal means it's a disaster. Be prepared for the worst. Go on chanting Hare Krishna. I'm going to read from Srila Prabhupada's purport to Canto 1, Chapter 14, Text 10 of Srimad Bhagavatam, which he wrote in the early 1960s in Vrindavan, which at that time had no connection with the outside world. Actually, there were at least one scholar came, Klaus Klostermeyer. He's still alive. He's a professor. He was staying at Bon Maharaj's institute, so-called institute. He also met Bhaktivedanta Swami in the early 1960s. You can look him up on the internet. He's written a few books also. Klaus, it's a German name, K-L-A-U-S, Klostermeyer, K-L-O-S-T-E-M-E-I-E-R. So the point I'm making here is that Vrindavan was cut off from the outside world. The roads were what roads? Most of India didn't have tarmacadam roads, or what in what you call pucker roads. And even the pucker roads, they're all full of holes. Even in Delhi, even the major highway, even there, when I came in the 1970s, and it was like that, so I kind of, early 1960s, there's the main road from Calcutta to Bombay, it looks like it'd been bombed. It's just all full of holes. Yeah. That's why Tata trucks were so good, because they can survive the Indian roads. Yeah. They're good, strong vehicles, weren't they? Massively overloaded, more than would be allowed in Western countries, and they still they go on with their axles, and the suspension survives. So Srila Prabhupada's in Vrindavan. I had that experience in the 1980s in Bangladesh. So many people, they'd never even seen a pucker road. They don't even know what it is. So there was like that in Vrindavan, as in most. Phone? What's a telephone? Electric fan? They never even heard of such a thing, let alone see such a thing. So Srila, actually, there were electric fans in Vrindavan. In the 1960s, some people had. Of course, there wouldn't be electricity to power them most of the time, but there were electric fans. And if there'd be enough electricity, they have to push it to get started, and then I'll go. You don't know what I'm talking about. You haven't lived in that India, where the fan just goes very slowly and makes a noise every time it goes around. A little relief. Otherwise, people had fans. Fan means like that. So Srila Prabhupada was living in Vrindavan at that time, and at that time he wrote. I remember at this time India was completely enamored by the prospect of progress and following the West, and Jawaharlal Nehru with his, he wanted to make India catch up, and said that the temples of modern India will be the factories and the dams. And he this was his dream, to make America, make India industrialized. And people were enamored by that. If you had a transistor radio with batteries, you don't even know what a transistor radio is. And you could listen to the cricket match being broadcast, and you wouldn't be able to make out much of what was being said, but you might make out something. So the people were enamored by progress, the idea of progress. Srila Prabhupada wrote at this time, material advancement of civilization means advancement of the reactions of the threefold miseries due to celestial influence, earthly reactions, and bodily or mental pains. So what to unpack that, that means that as we advance the civilization, the threefold miseries, adhyatmik, adhibhautik, and adhidaivik, increase. We're trying to make things better, and nature is pushing back and making things worse. Continuing from Srila Prabhupada's purport, by the celestial influence of the stars, there are many calamities like excessive heat, cold, rain, or lack of rain, and the after effects are famine, disease, and epidemic. The aggregate result is agony of the body and the mind. Man-made material science cannot do anything to counteract these threefold miseries. They are all punishments from the superior energy of Maya under the direction of the Supreme Lord. So he's saying, yeah, we can. See, it's hot, and we make We make air conditioning, so we're counteracting the misery of excessive heat. But it's something like in a carpet, if there's a little bubble and you push it down, it comes up somewhere else. So you may counteract one problem, but to make all this, you've got to pollute the atmosphere and create more pollution by, first of all, to get all the materials, have factories to produce the air conditionings. Srila Prabhupada elsewhere in this first canto writes that factories are dungeons for demons. You pollute the air more and more, which leads to so many problems. You make more problems. Srila Prabhupada could see it through his spiritual vision. So all these problems, the crises that we're facing. See, if it was only one cry, okay, so climate change. It could happen that at any time the whole ecosystem just collapses. It's all very complex how everything, all the different species of life and the weather system, they all interact in a way to sustain the ecosystem, but it just could all collapse. With the weather, it could just spin out of control. But see, that even one of the crises could come to such an extent that it is a total, complete, devastating disaster. But there are so many different ways in which the whole world is stricken at the present time. And we see that Srila Prabhupada, with his spiritual eye, that means seeing through the eye of Shastra, can understand this. Even at that time, when no one was talking about these things, Srila Prabhupada could see that. And it's just getting worse and worse and worse. One thing, we're so concerned about the crises for humans. Well, we're not, actually. Let's face it. Here in Dubai, no one's concerned because it's comfortable. The illusion of comfort goes on. Elsewhere, people are very concerned about the crisis that mankind is facing. What about the crisis for the animals? There's one major reason why we're suffering karmic reactions. Because the most cows, pigs, chickens, turkeys, what else? Anyway, these animals, most of them in the world are raised in, we can't say inhuman conditions because they're not humans, but in inhumane conditions, tortured throughout their lives, and then slaughtered. What goes around comes around. It's a crisis for the animals, but we don't care because they're animals. To me, the most surprising thing is not this whole situation that has arisen, that it's taken so long to come to this point. The karma's really kicking in. Everyone recognizes. I was just in the West and traveling. Everyone recognizes, hey, things are going... There are always things going wrong, but it's really going wrong in a big way. India, also, so many... The Hindu-Muslim tension is becoming more and more serious. No easy solution for that. Apart from that, even if things were nice, whatever that means, and we didn't have all these amalgamated crises, anyway, the whole of material existence is a crisis. If we think it's nice, that's a crisis. Because the human, if we think it's nice, then we're wasting our valuable human form of life. If we don't recognize that the real problems are repeated birth, death, old age and disease, and we think we're going to live here very nicely, that's a crisis. So in some ways these crises are good because they should wake us up to understanding that this material world is not a place of happiness, and the attempt to live here happily, it perpetuates our own personal, individual, existential crisis of repeated birth and death. The suffering is good. Pain is good. If it wakens us up. Another crisis happening every day. Ahani ahani bhutani gacchanti hayamalayam sheshas tavara icchanti kimascharya matavparam. Every day, so many people are dying without Krishna consciousness, going to hell, entering this cycle of birth and death. They lost their human form of life. They wasted it. That's a crisis. That people think we will be happy and they go on. They waste their whole life. We all have our own individual crisis. The whole of material existence is a constant crisis. So, what should we do? What should we do to save ourselves? Materially speaking, Srila Prabhupada recommended establish farm communities. He said people will join our communities in their millions, if we had believed what Srila Prabhupada said and established farm communities, now would be the time where people would come and join. People want food, they want shelter, they want security. We should be ready to offer that. Spiritually speaking, the ultimate solution, spread Krishna consciousness. And understand that this demoniac civilization, it's going in the wrong way. At least we should understand that. Yes, so propagate what you can do here. You're preaching among your own people, arranging for books to be distributed. Do it. Increase it more and more and more. Don't be enamored by this wrong civilization, very wrong civilization. That was one of the adjectives Srila Prabhupada used. It's not sustainable. We've heard about sustainable lifestyle. But the idea of enjoying ourselves in this material world, it's not sustainable because the enjoyment, whatever we think is enjoyment, won't be sustained by the nature of nature. It won't be sustained. Nature will make it that for some time we might think everything is nice, but then, bam, we're smashed down. Some thoughts for the day. Material life is not nice. The cruel face of material nature is becoming more and more obvious. We shouldn't turn away and pretend it's not there. Let's look and see, and then let's look at the face of Krishna. Oh, we have to start at the feet of Krishna. That's a beginning. That's a beginning. Spiritual life. Spiritual life means love of Krishna, but a beginning is to think, hey, I'm suffering, others are suffering, what are you going to do about it? Hare Krishna! Any question or comment? Vancha kalpa tarubhyascha kripa sindubhya evacha patita nam pavanebhyo vaishnavebhyo namo namaha Dante nidhaya trinakam padaya nipatya kritva chakha kushatameta daham ravimi hey sadhava sakala eva vihaya durat goranga chandra charne kurutanuraga parivadatu jano yatha tatha va nanu mukaro navayang vicharyamaha Hari rasa madhira madati mata bhuvi vilotama nartama nirvishama. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.